You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Any friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Thank goodness for this little funky bed music every time, because there's a lot of strange things going on in the world of renting out there. Hey, Celine.
Hey, yeah, there always are, unfortunately. There always are.
How have you been?
I am glad that it's the week after semester ended. I'm sure a lot of people can feel that.
Yeah, it's like it's quiet in a like everyone's sigh of relief type of a way down there. Although, as Stella can confirm, assignment season is definitely upon us.
It's still happening.
Yeah, it's still happening for the students, but they're emailing me less.
Great news.
Sorry about that. Adjacent ones from me.
We've had some cookers come in over the last wee while. 5395, if you've got any that you want to send us, we'll try our best to get through as many as we can this morning. Somebody texted us or emailed us last week saying our property manager told them they had to move out because the landlord was selling the house. And so they did that about a month ago. Then they ran into the landlord who they'd met before, and then he asked them why they'd left, and through much confusion found out that the property manager had asked them to leave arbitrarily by the looks of it. This is a very strange situation, obviously. Is there any rules pertaining to that? Obviously, really bizarre moves from the property manager there if the landlord allegedly didn't know about it or didn't want it to happen. What's going on there, Celine?
Yeah, it's terrible how often this kind of thing seems to happen, though that feels like a lucky one in a way that you ran into them and you knew them and they asked, and maybe that's happening more, we don't know. I would say the main thing there is this is why we need to regulate property managers in New Zealand, which is
maybe not helpful for this one person, but
no,
helpful
absolutely not.
Systemically.
Absolutely helpful systemically. And part of that proposed legislation was that you would have a complaints process, you'd be able to report them, they wouldn't be able to be licensed anymore if they were doing things like this. But in your case, I guess I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure you can take a property manager to the tenancy tribunal retroactively, but you could say that it was a kind of unfair eviction. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely be calling tenancy services. I would be calling tenants protection, like Auckland Tenants Protection Association, just to find out, because I guess as well, if the landlord thinks that's an unfair situation, maybe they'd be able to help give you some evidence of that, or I don't know how willing they would be to play ball as well. Mm. But I guess it's just kind of having a conversation about what that means with them. I guess it's too late to...
This is one of those things, just to zoom out again from this person's example. This is crazy. I'm so sorry to that person.
That is unbelievable.
Super, super cooked situation. But when we often get questions in about things that are retroactive, the answer is often, okay, you can take it to the tribunal or you can take it to the small claims court. Yeah. What's the goal of doing that? Is it to make sure that there's a record of it? Very important thing to do if you can. It's a lot of work for tenants to do that. It's also a lot of risk as well to put your name in legal documents in a searchable website to have, you know, future landlords and property managers be able to find you. What are we doing here?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the trouble. It's such a power-weighted system, so unfairly, that to go through that process and to take these things into the tenancy tribunal is really often you're sacrificing your time and stress and energy and potentially the ability to rent easily in the future to try and put this on a record to do something for other tenants. So it's like very self-sacrificing, and often maybe you'll get financial recompense in some way, but maybe you won't. So it's definitely
a difficult one. Ask around for that one, I would say. But also if you feel you can do it, it is really helpful for future tenants getting into those spaces.
To ease some woes, anecdotally, I've been to the tenancy tribunal
Slay.
And I still get properties.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, hey, you won that as well.
I did win that.
This is the other thing. It's good for vindication when you're like, wow, maybe that wall shouldn't have been dripping with mold.
Yeah, just for emotions, actually. All good.
It's all good. Okay, what else have we got happening in the world of renting out there, Stel?
Someone's texted in, our landlord keeps sending over his son to fix stuff, which is usually fairly fine, but I noticed that he was doing some electrical work recently. Does he have to be qualified to do that, and are we entitled to request evidence of his qualification, if so?
It is funny how often the people who come to fix something are like a long-lost uncle. well, not funny, scary. Okay, so basically as a landlord, you must follow all relevant legislation to do with the building quality. And so this is tied for renting, this is tied more specifically to those laws, which is great. Because the building has to be insured, to be up to code, you have to be using licensed practitioners in the maintenance of that property. So there are some particular kinds of electrical work that you're allowed to legally do yourself. So there's some directives about that, but it looks like that's only legal if you are the owner occupier, it's your home,
okay,
and you follow certain regulation there. In general, it looks like they need to be licensed, and if they're not, then they're in breach of their legal obligation, and you're allowed to ask them to see their legal kind of ID, their professional ID.
Yeah.
So I would be asking for that, some evidence of that, and then I guess if the landlord has a sense that you've realised they're not, there's bigger legal implications for them.
Mm. And hopefully that will be enough to scare them into getting a real electrician in, because that's no good.
Absolutely.
We've had a text from someone whose landlord organised for some guys to come and water blast the house. They didn't give us a specific time. The guys showed up and started doing the job on a random Tuesday. Because we didn't know it was happening, we didn't get a chance to move anything out of the way. My lemon tree in a big pot has been killed by the chemical runoff, and some clothes on our washing line got damaged. Can we get some sort of financial recompense, and how would we even go about asking for it?
Okay, well, I love today because I get to... I guess I always get to say bad, no, hate it. But this time I get to say bad and they're not allowed.
Yay!
So basically if you're renting a property, the landlord is meant to have tried to repair it, restore it, maintain it as best they can before you move in so that they're not doing it around you. And if they are, they hold the responsibility for kind of lessening the disruption to the people who are living there. So again, this having your quiet enjoyment as a tenant. That means that if there's repairs going on, they need to minimize disruption to you. They need to make sure they keep kind of the work site as it's going, as clean and tidy as possible. There's different things around how disruptive it is over a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
Being able to ask for a rent rebate, etc. But for this kind of thing, in particular, they need to take they call reasonable steps to ensure that no damage occurs to the property of the tenant.
Okay.
So they should compensate the tenant if their property is damaged.
So your lemon tree and your clothes.
Something to follow up on there. Absolutely.
Totally. What would be the best channel for that? Is that calling the Tenants Protection Association? Is it talking to the CBA? What's the best way to go about that? Tenancy services?
Yeah, tenancy services potentially, because they are, again, kind of the formal arm to tell you exactly what your rights would be, what people have done before in that case. But again, before that, just take photos, gather your evidence, and then there'll be a way to do that. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's we love a win. We love to end on a win. Sorry about your lemon tree. That's really annoying.
Yeah.
They're hard to get out of pots as well. They get root bound, so frustrating.
A real tragedy today.
Hey, thank you, Celine. Have a great rest of your morning. As always, we will put links to resources, support groups, and advice services in the podcast after the show. And you can always send us a text, DM us. You can email us with a question. We'll keep it anonymous unless you really want to put your name in it. And we will ask you in a fortnight, Celine. Take care.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.